You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach, and today I'm going to dive into a topic that's really at the heart of really everything we do here, and it's really bugging me because I've been getting so much feedback from so many owners that come into our program and hear the way that we train techs, and they say, this is so different. Everybody else is out there teaching people how to manipulate and how to pressure, and you know, so many people, they put service all over their product, but they're not teaching service. They're teaching sales, they're teaching closing tactics, they're teaching manipulation, they're teaching what they think will get someone to buy something instead of absolutely just coming alongside someone and serving them. Something I've always believed in from the first day that I went into the plumbing industry is there's a few thousand dollars worth of plumbing that really is existing in every single home, whether the homeowner knows about it, whether the technician diagnoses it. There's on average a few thousand dollars worth of plumbing that needs to be really done in every home. And a lot of us just miss that. And I hear things like people will say, well, you know, do you really want people going around and checking shutoffs that can open a can of worms? And my question is always, what's the purpose of a shutoff? What's the purpose of an emergency stop? Well, a shutoff is designed to shut off water. An emergency stop is designed to do it in an emergency. So if the shutoff doesn't shut off, if the emergency stop doesn't stop, then it's not working. Even if it's not leaking right now, it's still not working. And I'd rather have that problem exist while I'm there than when the homeowner needs it in the middle of the night. Now, there's expectations you need to set with your customers before you start touching their plumbing, and there's conversations that need to happen. But the reality is there's nothing wrong with going around checking the home. Now, when we do it in fear mode, when we do it in ways that tries to get people to do something, that's when it's not done correctly. And when we start changing the names of the toilet or of the shutoff or of the, you know, the component in HVAC for those that are in HVAC, when you start changing the names of these things so that the customer can't compare it to what they're used to, it's just manipulation. It's not really the right way of serving. It's just a sales tactic. And I don't like it. I don't like it any. I don't need to hide behind that. I would rather just call the white elephant out in the room. So there's a couple of things that we're going to talk about today that we train inside of our program to the technicians. Now we're seeing technicians. I was just in a chat a few minutes ago where a lot of the owners and the service managers and everybody are inside of a chat, and they're talking about all the results they're getting, and it's unbelievable. There today and yesterday was some big numbers in there, and it was really fun. But we're seeing 92% conversion rates, 95 company wide. On average, not like yesterday, but for the whole month, for the whole year. In fact, I remember one guy said that their conversion was 100% for the whole month of January. It's a smaller shop. They only ran about 50 or 60 calls, but 100% of the people did work with them. They averaged around $1,200 to $1,300 a ticket. They had some $200 and $300 tickets, and they had some $3,000 and $4,000 tickets, but they averaged about, I think it was actually $1,600 a call. Can't remember exactly, somewhere right in there. Every single time they went to a call, it generated $1,600. And when we talk about opportunity average, we're saying if I go to 10 calls and only 9 people do work with me, I still divide it by the 10 because I want to see whether it's a yes or no, what can I expect to get per lead that comes in the business? And so that's what the numbers we're using. This is not just drain calls. This is not just repipe calls. There's no, everyone's going to try to justify it with like, oh, I bet that's because they have salesmen. No. No, these are plumbers going in. They got an emergency stop that drips. They got a faucet that's clogged. I remember the very first plumbing call I ever ran was a clogged sink on a double vanity sink upstairs. So that means the other sink's flowing. The rest of the house is flowing. This is limited to the trap. There was hair in the trap. It was gunked up. They ended up being a $2,200 call. Now how? Well, because I followed a process. That was my very first plumbing call. My very first one. The one right after that ended up being $1,800 and it was a water heater. So I had less opportunity on the first one than the second one. Now this is, I'm dating myself when you hear $1,800 for a water heater. This was a while ago, probably about 12 years ago. But the point isn't so much that the opportunity decided the outcome. It was the process, the relationship, and the conversation. So let's talk a little bit about this. So I've kind of got a rule number one. You know, we teach overcoming objections. Objections are real. People do object. But at the end of the day, I don't want to really get great at overcoming objections. I'd rather get good at removing them. I'd rather get good at making sure they don't come up. How do I do that? How do we do that? Well, for example, you know, one of the big price objections, or one of the big objections we get, is I can get that at Amazon, or I can get that at Lowe's, or I can go get that part for cheaper, or my friend's a plumber and he could do it for way less. And there's always some comparison game. And then, you know, I don't know, 70% of my clients, customers I go into, they have something like this in the back of their mind. I don't hide from that. Even for the 30% that didn't, I go ahead and put it in their head. I let them know early and often, you can get this stuff at Lowe's, you can get this stuff at Home Depot, because I need to separate myself from that. I don't want to wait till the end when they go, why is your water heater so expensive? I can go to Lowe's and get one for $500, $600, because now they're comparing my gifting, my skill, my ability to plumb that in, and my water heater to the Lowe's water heater. It's not a fair comparison. It's not the same comparison. But I'm not going to avoid that. So I bring it up. If I'm standing in front of a water heater and it's leaking, and I'm at diagnosis mode, hey, my name is Chris, I'm with ABC Plumbing, I'm here to look at your water heater, sorry you're going through this, I come in the house, I say, that's a cute little dog, is that a Cavapoo? We have one. We actually used to have a German Shepherd, and they're like, oh, we used to have a German Shepherd. We build our relationship. We head down to the water heater, and I go, oh, it's leaking. Now, a lot of times, if it's leaking from a connection point or something like that, we can repair it, but if it's the tank, we have to replace it, and unfortunately, your tank is cracked. So you're going to have to replace it. And I let them know right then and there, you know, you've got a few options you can do here. One of them is you could go get your own water heater. Typically when you do that, you go to like a Lowe's or a Home Depot or an Ace or Menards or whatever your local store is. And I say to them, you know, you could probably get one for as cheap as $500-$600 maybe. And you can go as expensive as $1,200 to $1,500. You could get into tankless and really spend some money depending on what you're looking for. But the main thing I would look at if you do that is if you go to Lowe's and get a water heater, the quality of the $600 water heater compared to the $1,200 water heater is going to be different. So if you're looking at the same company, Lowe's, but you're going in there to buy one of their, even their water heaters have a gap in quality. And I explain that to them. I want them to understand that it's not me versus Lowe's. It's just the reality of the world. There's multiple levels of quality for water heater, even at the same store. So then they can go, oh, so you're not the only one that's more expensive. Even Lowe's is more expensive compared to Lowe's. This gets rid of all price objections. You can do this with water heaters. You can do this with toilets. You can do this with faucets. I tell people all the time, you can go to Lowe's and get a faucet. Now, what I'll tell them also is if I'm talking about a faucet, I'll say, hey, you can go to Lowe's and get a faucet. You can go down there and get a Delta 400 for your kitchen faucet sink. But if you go to the supply shop, like a plumbing supply shop, and get a Delta 400, the same brand, the same model number, made by the same people, it's going to have two different weights. One's going to have plastic components. One's going to have metal components. What happens is these big box stores have buying power, so they get these quality name brands to produce a lower standard for them so they can have that quality name brand on their shelf at a more affordable price for their consumer. They're selling to someone different. They're not selling to plumbers. They're selling to consumers. The supply shop selling to plumbers. I explain this stuff to my customer. So, you know, we're more concerned with, we're not really care about bells and whistles. We care about it working. So when I go get a Delta 400, I want to make sure I don't have to come back. I want to make sure I don't have the warranties thing. Because one of the things that we do is when we install the water heater, if we provide it, we warranty it. If Lowe's provides it, they don't warranty it. It's back with a 1-800 number. So you'll end up spending $700-$800 on the water heater. Maybe 900. I wouldn't get their cheapest one. I wouldn't get their most expensive one. They're not that much better. But a couple things you'll notice is maybe the boiler drain's plastic on one, it's brass on the other. You can imagine, that's just what you can see. So you can imagine the components on the inside are even better. But that warranty's back with the manufacturer. It's not with Lowe's and it's not with us. If you buy that and we install it, we warranty the work we did, but not the water heater. Now, if we supply the water heater, or if we supply the faucet, or we supply the toilet, then we warranty it. And the customer now, when I get to the end, they're going to expect me to be more expensive. I just got through laying out how the water quality are different. The water heater quality is different. And I usually will say something to this effect. If you go to Lowe's, you know, the difference between $800 and $1,200 is, you know, you might see a plastic drain versus a brass drain. Now, the water heaters we get are all going to be commercial grade for residential application. That means they have the best parts. They have the best components. It's always brass. Always, there's nothing really cheap on these things. And that's why we like installing them, because they last. So now the customer can expect a different quality. And on top of that, a different warranty, a different reassurance. Meaning now, if I buy it from Lowe's, my warranty is with the manufacturer. It's not with Lowe's and it's not with the installer. But if I buy it from this guy who's supplying the water heater from a supply shop, the warranty is with the manufacturer. It's also with the supply shop and it's also with the plumber. That's three people standing behind the product instead of no one, really. And do we take the time to explain that to our customer? Or are we lazy? We're just trying to, hey, it's a water heater. Let's go. I got other jobs to get to. We have to take the time to explain that stuff. You ever noticed how when you go to a fine dining restaurant and you buy a Wagyu steak, it gets served differently? Yeah, because there's got to be an experience associated with that. Meaning the manager comes out, they cut it right in front of you. They do the little salt bay. Got their little arm in there and they sprinkle the salt. Sprinkle, sprinkle. I like it. It's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why. But that's what happens. That's what happens. I've been to some meals where it's like real expensive, where there's some people at the table having some real expensive liquors. And those glasses don't just come out pre-poured. They bring the bottle out. They bring the glass out. They do it all right in front of you. It's going to be more expensive. It comes with a different level of service, a different experience. If I put your water heater in versus the handyman, you're going to have a different experience. I'm not going to get water all over your floor. I'm not going to scrape up the hardwood flooring with my dolly. I'm going to put shoe covers on my dolly. This is the difference, and we have to explain that. You're compared to a lot of things when you're in the home. Okay, some of them are preconceived things, meaning you're being compared to Lowe's, but you don't realize it. You're being compared to the other guy that came in and gave him a quote and you don't realize it. And it could be the guy that gave him a quote 2 years ago on something different. But the time and the energy that you put into it, if you are constantly trying to push your customer, it's going to be an uncomfortable half hour to hour for them. But if you're educating and learning and asking questions and having a conversation, it's going to be a much better, more confident experience for them. And the consumer confidence goes way up, which increases conversion and increases the amount they're willing to spend with you. You could go into a home and convince them that tanklesses are amazing, but if you don't look the part and sound the part, they're going to go have someone else do that work. They were willing to let you repair it, but not put the $8,000 worth of work in because they don't trust it. They don't trust you. So you got to be open and honest with people. There's no gimmicks here. There's no manipulation tactics that work. There's no strategy of changing names so that people don't realize what's happening. All that does, even if it works in the moment, it just creates buyer's remorse on the back end. Just creates buyer's remorse. After you come into my house, you call it some fancy name, you do some smoke and mirrors magic, you overcome my objections, I go ahead and buy it, and then you leave, and then I go confirm what I thought, and then I have buyer's remorse. And now I'm upset. And now I'm calling in and I'm, you know, you guys overcharge. Can I get a parts breakdown? Can I get, what do you guys charge for material? That's, by the way, when you get someone calling you up saying, can you break down your price for me? They don't believe in you. They don't value. They didn't see the value. I've never asked a fine dining restaurant what the steak costs them. Okay, they don't see the value. And the faster you learn this, the faster you'll shift to the right solution, which is educating and informing that customer. Look, this is a big one right here. Okay, now, if you want to know how I would teach overcoming objections, it's really the same way that I do everything else. It's through questions. I use questions to overcome objections. And I use a little framework called ART, agree, request, transition. I agree that whatever they're objecting to has a value. If our prices are outrageous, I could see how that would be a concern to the customer. If they really do need to talk to their spouse or it's a bigger decision than they realize, I could see all that's legit. So I request more information. I agree that the value is real to them, and then I request more information about it. And then after I request more information, it gives me an understanding of where they're coming from, and then I transition into my value. ART, A-R-T, agree, request, transition. I agree that their value is valid. I request more information about it. Then I transition to mine. And then sometimes in transitioning to mine, I might change my mind. I might say, have you guys ever thought about tankless? And they said, no, we don't like tankless. And I said, well, tell me a little bit more about that. You know, what don't you like about it? I don't like its gas. I don't want to have any gas in my house. I'm afraid it's going to blow up. Well, if you have that fear, maybe you shouldn't have a gas tankless water heater in your house because you won't be able to sleep at night. I don't agree that that's true. That your house will blow up. But at the same time, I could understand the value of that. And so I could give them a little information, education about the safety of them all. But at the end of the day, if they're not comfortable with it, I'm not comfortable with it, I'm fine. I'd rather not sell that tankless. And that leads me to really the next main point, which is the goal shouldn't be to get the sale. The goal shouldn't be to get them to do something. The goal should be to go in there and seek to understand what they're after and why you're there, so you can then offer the right solutions. But make no mistake, you're not there because the faucet's dripping. You're there for some other reason why. And I'll explain. If the customer calls you out and the faucet's dripping, you say, how long has this been going on? They say, it's been dripping for a couple weeks. Well, why didn't you call me a couple weeks ago? What made today different? So I go, okay, do you want me to ask him why you didn't call us then? Well, honestly, it wasn't that big of a deal, but we got family coming into town and I want to get it fixed. Well, I can tell you right now, based on that little conversation, it would make sense to me that they're going to value all of the plumbing issues and all the issues in their home in the areas that their guests are going to be, but not in the areas their guests aren't going to be. So if I go find a dripping faucet in the master bathroom, they're less likely to value that one than they are the dripping faucet in the guest bathroom. Right? Just logic here. Because you're not there for a dripping faucet. You're there because people are coming into town and they don't want to look like their house is busted. They don't want to hear Uncle Tony the whole time talking about, you know, I can fix that for you, right? And the last time he fixed something for him, they had to go get that fixed too. So there's like, let's just deal with this before he gets here. Let's deal with this before my mother-in-law gets here, right? So number one, the elephant in the room. Call it out. Of course people sell stuff cheaper. Of course, people have other products that even look and feel the same. But we're not going to pretend like this is something different to sell it. We're just going to be open and honest with people, tell them they can get it cheaper somewhere else. And while we make that assessment to let them understand that it is cheaper in price, but cheaper in quality, I often will use the competitor against the competitor. I'm not going to sit there and go, Lowe's water heaters are cheaper. Our water heaters are better. I would rather say Lowe's water heater has cheap ones and expensive ones. They have poor quality and high quality. And then you leverage that to explain how ours is a different style, a different quality, a different grade. And so it's not me against Lowe's, it's Lowe's against Lowe's. It's quality versus quality. And then number two, well, also we talked about overcoming objections and how to deal with that when they do come up. But I think you can get rid of them by just overcoming them early and often. And I'll make this little statement. I've said this for a long time. If they ask you a question and you answer it, it sounds like sales. If they object and then you overcome that, it sounds like sales. But if you bring it up before they bring it up, it sounds like education and information. It's taken in differently mentally from the customer. It's a whole dynamic and it absolutely works. It absolutely works. Okay. I hope you guys get that. And the second one is don't focus on the sale. Don't focus on trying to get someone to do something. Just let the plumbing lead to the plumbing. Understand there's a few thousand dollars of work that should be really opportunity in every home for you to go discover, as long as you're using the right methods to do it. You're not scaring people into it. You're not tricking people into it. You're not manipulating people into it. You're simply walking them through from one thing to the next. You know, we do a framework for diagnosing all the time, and we have three vitals that we really teach that cause most of the plumbing issues to begin with. And when you start applying those things, it becomes such a difference maker for the customer to understand their plumbing system, to then go, it's not that crazy to think that if this emergency stop is failing, that another one in my home might be failing and I just don't know it yet. Or if this faucet's old and needs to be replaced, maybe I should take care of the other ones. I always tell customers, look, we've got two different kinds of leaks. We've got the leaks that are leaking where they're supposed to, but not when they're supposed to. Running toilets, dripping faucets, shower heads that drip. And then we have leaks that are happening where they're not supposed to, when they're not supposed to. That's going to be water damage, leaks out of pipes, water coming out of the back of the toilet onto the floor, whatever. Okay, and so what I want to do is right now you have a leak where it's supposed to, but not when it's supposed to. And so I want to be able to make sure that we don't have something else pop up later on you that's not where it's supposed to. So if you got this toilet that's 25 years old and it's running nonstop, you could have another toilet that's 25 years old in the home that's going to leak somewhere else. Look, the more the customer understands and trusts the reasons why you're moving to the next item, the more they're going to want to go there with you. The less they trust it and don't understand it, they're not only not going to want to go, they're not going to want you to go. If you want to be able to move through the home, you've got to get this stuff right because it builds trust. And the last one that I would say today that probably drives me the craziest it's the most irritating are these scripted lines that you can use on people as if everybody's a computer program or it's just some video game you're playing that, you know, no. When you get to that level, you just push up, up, A, B, A, B, and you'll skip. Like, what is that crap? That's not relationship. That's not serving. That's selling. That's looking out for number one, which is you. Look, I have built 3 different businesses in 3 different industries to 7 figures. Personally owned them, personally started them, personally developed them. And then with plumbing, I've ran 2 different plumbing shops. One that I completely ran, and the other one that I didn't necessarily run, but I consulted. It was the first one that I ever came in contact with. And I was with them for 3 or 4 years. I ran calls. That's how I got into the industry. And we went from $13,000 a week of revenue off 3.5 trucks to $55,000 a week in revenue within a month or two. We didn't add trucks. We didn't add calls. We didn't change the owners. We just changed the focus and the way that we ran the calls. Changed everything for those guys. They were able to actually sell the company. They didn't sell it for a lot, but they were able to sell it. I think they were $13,000 a week of revenue, and then they eventually sold the company for like $400,000 or something like that. It wasn't a great deal of money. But it wasn't sellable when I met them at all. So now they were able to sell it. They wanted out. The next owner comes in, we took it to a whole nother level. Okay, what are you missing out on because you're running the call the wrong way? What is your team missing out on because they're running the calls wrong way? And the bigger question to all this is, what's your customer missing out on because your team's not running the right calls? If you can build consumer confidence and educate your customer and show them how they can invest into their plumbing system, your efficiency gets better, your burden rate, your cost per hour to run your business goes down. If your tech's running 4 calls, that means they're only working for about an hour on each call and the other hour is driving around in preparation. So that means you're only turning the wrench for 4 hours a day. That means you got to charge twice the hourly rate that the guy that's turning the wrench for 8 hours a day. If I can go into one home and sell 8 hours of work every single day, I don't have to charge as much as you. And if I don't have to charge as much as you, I'm more convertible. It's easier for me to sell those services. And by the way, the companies in our program, we don't get them to drop their prices. What we do is we show them how to build value in the home so the customer wants to invest in it. So they stop charging the convenience store price 1 soda at a time, and they start charging the Costco price 50 sodas at a time, and the volume and the net and the margin equals more, ends up being more. The customer gets a better value, so they write a longer review. They tell more people about it. They're now bragging not about their repaired toilet, which, by the way, no one brags about, but they're bragging about their 3 new toilets and softener. They're bragging about their new tankless, not their element that you put in the water heater. And now you're creating stories in the community, and you're getting referrals, and those referrals are coming in saying, I want tanklesses, not I want you to match the $69 drain price that the other guys. See the difference? The conversations change, the customers change, everything changes. And all of a sudden it becomes this momentum wheel that is just absolute. In fact, I think what we tell people is we can show you how to create raving fans. Make big money the right way, get your white life back, and create raving fans. That's what we can promise you. If you'd like to know more about what we offer, just go onto our website. We're actually giving away it's an $800 training, 9 videos, worksheets, activity sheets. It's the whole kit and caboodle. You'll get a login. You log into the back office. It'll all be right there for you to play over and over and over again. And we're giving it away right now. Giving it away. Used to be $797. I guarantee it'll raise your ticket average by a couple $100. And we won't be getting anyone to manipulate their way into a sale. We'll get people to actually build relationships. That's what the training's on, is relationships. And we will show you what we're talking about. And we'll do it for free. No strings attached. This isn't a training program that says, hey, buy this other training program. Actually, we don't offer anything else after that. It's just, boom, here's your complete training, all done, all ready to rock and roll. You push play, watch the revenue go up. Call us up and tell us how great we are. Thank us, whatever you want to do. Maybe leave us a review. We'd appreciate that. There's nothing there to buy. That all by itself is a complete product. Reach out to us, get that free training, theplumbingsalescoach.com, and we will get that into your world ASAP. We love you, and as always, remember, serve your community in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.